Inside Books with Breda Brown.
Welcome to Inside Books, a programme about the magical world of writing. I'm Breda Brown, and in each episode of Inside Books, we chat to people associated with the world of books, including well-known authors, publishers, editors, agents, critics, booksellers, and more. You'll find Inside Books on all audio platforms, and our Twitter handle is @InsideBooksIRE, where you'll also find lots of other interesting books news. My guest today is Zoe Miller, the Irish author who has published 13 novels over the past 15 years. Zoe worked in the areas of communications, journalism, personal development and information security before becoming a full-time writer in 2017. Her latest book is called The Birthday Weekend and it's published by Hachette Ireland. Zoe, 13 books in 15 years. That's some serious output.
I've been very, very busy, Breda. First of all, thank you very much for having me here this afternoon.
You're welcome.
I'm delighted to be on the Inside Books podcast. It really is an honour for me. It's just great to be able to talk to you about books like this and, you know, chat about myself.
And I assume you've listened to some of the other episodes then, is
I
that
have
right?
indeed listened to some of the other episodes. And I suppose what intrigues me the most is that they are all so different. They are all so different in different ways. And people have so many different approaches to their writing too. I think that's quite amazing. And I think really what's that telling people is there's no one size fits all.
Never. And that's absolutely. One thing we've absolutely learned on Inside Books is different people do it in different ways. And find something that works for you as a writer and go
yes,
with it.
Totally. No matter what it is, find something that kind of tugs at your heart the way you want to do it. And you might be surprised then with the results.
And one of the things that seems to tug at your heart all the time are secrets.
I know.
Every book that you've had, it's always yes. about the secrets from the past that come yes. back to haunt the future. What drags you to that?
I think people are great. I think people are so complex. And we only see one facet of a personality, maybe. If you have maybe half a dozen friends, you might reflect off them in different ways. And you might be hiding parts of yourself from some of them and other parts from another person. But I think, I'm sure you've often heard of the meme, be kind. Everybody is fighting a battle you know nothing about. And it's something I very much like to bring out in my books because people do tend to cover over the faults in their lives and put out a perfect face. And if you think of it, if you look at the picture of an iceberg, think of the image of an iceberg. You only see a small amount above the surface and there's a lot going on underneath. And I think people are like that too. And it's something I love to do, to go into that and to delve beneath the layers and the complexities of human nature and our fractured relationships. And I like to tie them all up with, I suppose, storylines with mystery and intrigue, because they're the ones that sucked me in from the very beginning when I was young.
So how do you do that then? Do you come up with the plot? Do you come up with the character? Where do you start with, or do you start with a secret?
No, not generally. I could start with a feeling, maybe. I could start with a feeling. I remember now one particular book now, I think it was The Perfect Sister. I was watching an office block in town being demolished. And I was imagining all the secrets and lives that went on there, say, between the corridors and in the lifts. And that kind of was the spark of a story to me then. And I've imagined if something, you know, if you took another office block or an apartment block and had that being demolished, what might be found in the woodwork or in between, you know, the ceilings and the floors or something that might cause somebody to, you know, have a big upset in their life. And that was the spark of that. And in The House in the Woods, I had an image in my head of three people. I didn't know who they were, but this image kept coming back to me about these three people standing at this beautiful door. And around the same time, so that'll probably go into my next book now somewhere. Around the same time, I went down to a visit to the Mount Usher Gardens. And I thought they were absolutely beautiful. And I said, this would be a perfect location for a house in the middle of the woods. And so one thing led to another. What I tend to do is I sit down with a big blank sheet of paper or a blank pad. I love these big blank pads. You can buy them in Lidl. They're £1.99 or £2.99. And then I'll get a whole load of coloured markers. And I literally would just throw things down on the page. I might put down a character or I might indeed have them A, B, C and D because I may not even have named them at this stage. And I try to maybe do a mind map of the interactions between them. And it really develops from there onwards and onwards. And then I might, things just come to me then when I'm thinking about it a little bit, you know, or sometimes even when I'm doing the washing up, I might think of something and I have to try and remember to write that down. I nearly always have a notebook with me at some stage, you know.
So you let things percolate then?
I let things percolate, but only for a certain length of time, because I might let things percolate and have a bit of fun with all this for about 4 to 6 weeks. But I find the only way to really get to know the characters and what they would do is to start writing about them. So if you think about it, I might have, say, like the scaffolding of a house, just a bare outside. I might have a bare sketch of where they are at now and where they're going to be at the end of the book. And it's really only from actually writing through those scenes, putting them down on paper, sitting down with your fingers on the laptop. And I'm amazed at the ideas that come to you then when you're actually putting people into scenes with other people, maybe having rows or maybe having arguments or maybe having good times. And then you have to kind of sit back yourself and think, well, I ask myself the five W's. Why, what, where, when? I actually forget what the other one is.
Who?
Yeah, well, it starts off with who. Yeah. Who, why, what, where, and when.
Yeah.
So really, I could start off with an idea. I could start off with a character. I could start off with being somewhere in a place and feeling, oh, I'd love to write about this place because I have the atmosphere of it. And another example would be, you know, we were on holidays in France and I had just delivered book two and I was about to start writing book three and I hadn't a clue what it was going to be about. And we were sitting there having a cup of coffee in a lovely place in Nice, and wherever way this little waitress walked out of the coffee shop, she walked right into my book. I said, right, that's the character. And by the time I went home after a week, I had the third book sketched out in my head. So it just happens like that. You can't really, I think if you're always attuned to life and if you're curious about things and if you go about maybe with your, I suppose, just not kind of that I'm watching people all the time. I wouldn't like people to think I'm watching them. But if you go around with your mind open, maybe you'd be amazed at the way, you know, your mind can be fertile enough to come up with ideas and you might just get sense impressions that could be all buried there and then they come out when you're actually writing the book.
And that curiosity aspect is interesting, I think, because you've worked in communications and journalism as well. And both of those industries, they require curiosities or pure nosiness, as we call it.
Yes. Well, the journalism was more featured, feature things I used to write, topics and that.
But even still, that you was, need a sense
yes,
of curiosity
did,
around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Good. So do you plot then? You say you have, you know, an idea might come to you or a character and you build around that.
Yeah.
Do you plot much? You know, you talked about the scaffolding of the house, but
yes,
do you plot much?
I plot a certain extent. But in general, where I have a whodunit, maybe, for example, and where I have a few characters, I never know until I'm over halfway through the book who might the baddie be. I would start out with them all in the frame and all wanting different things, and I could be halfway through. I find that it's like writing a book is also like painting a picture. No, if you think of a big canvas and a beautiful big landscape painting, no artist goes in and starts at the bottom right hand corner and paints it all the way across. They throw something on the top of it. They throw something else. They keep layering it and layering up the pigments. And I find it's the same when I'm writing a book. I keep layering it. And then the more I write, the more I think of new things. In fact, I sometimes have too many ideas then. And I would have to kind of filter some of them out and say, no, this is becoming too complex now. There's too many ideas. So I kind of have to fine tune down a little bit, you know.
And have you had to change things halfway through or had a better idea and you go, actually, this is where I'm going?
Oh, lots of times.
Really?
Yeah, I would have. Oh, yeah, lots of times. I'd have a change of mind. Maybe.
And what about all those lovely words you've just written?
Well, they get into a cut and paste mode. They might come out again. You never know. I always save everything until it's actually gone to the print, just in case. But I don't tend to have to. Well, say, for example, now my new book that's out now, The Birthday Weekend, you might think that 13 books in, I'd have a lot of experience. But in fact, I had the most rewriting to do in that book.
Really? Why?
Yes, because the first 7 chapters, I had to condense it into 2. I was very, very lucky, let me say, at the outset. I had fantastic work. I did some fantastic work with 2 editors on the book when I was finished with it. They came back to me with marvellous reports. And it was a suggestion for me to take on board that, you know, it took a while to maybe get into the story. So I had to take out the first 7 chapters and condense it into 2. But then I also had to take out a character.
Oh, right.
So that was real. And I was saying, do I have to?
Right.
But I could see from the editor's report, I could see the sense the editor was making.
Yeah.
And she kind of made the point, this character weakens the dramatic scenes.
And how hard is it to take that advice on board?
At this stage now, I suppose if it had been one of my first two books or my first three books, that I would have been, oh my God, my book is rubbish.
Yeah.
But I know by now what to expect. Mm. And I do respect the editors. And I think it's absolutely wonderful that something that you've sat at home for maybe a year, made up in your head, make up people, make up action, is actually taken seriously by industry experts who can say, look, this is great, but if you did this, it would be even better. So it's absolutely wonderful to have that kind of collaborative nature of your work, because you're on your own a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, I find I'm on my own a lot. I don't have readers that read my work as they go along. I tend to finish, wait till I'm finished the whole thing, and then I would send it off to my agent and my editor. So it's wonderful to get that kind of constructive feedback. So yeah, taking it to character, I'm glad to say I think it definitely improved the overall novel. What it really involves, it's like taking apart an Aran jumper.
Hmm.
Unstitching it bit by bit and going back to the start knitting it up again in a different pattern.
The thought of it.
Well, I have to say I enjoyed the work.
Yeah. But because, that's the important
part.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the work because, as I say, the feedback I got was very constructive. So I enjoyed that part.
And would it be fair to say, you know, as you've progressed through your career, that the novels have become more edgy, I suppose, a little bit more of an edge, more intrigue, a bit more
intense. I hope so, because I think every writer is trying to better themselves.
Mm.
Absolutely every writer, all along the way. And I find they've come slightly shorter. At one stage when I was writing the very first few books, a book word count would come to about 120,000 words. But now they tend to look for more around the 90,000 words.
Right.
But I do kind of tend to write long books, so I have to try and cut them back a little bit. I think people's attention spans too are not what they were, say, maybe even 10 years ago. So 90,000 words is a comfortable fit, I think, for a book anyway, to have a decent beginning, middle and end.
And how do you build that tension then? Is it hard to do that?
I think it all depends on yourself, really, and the plot. A lot of that would be in the rewriting, though. I think the best thing to do is get it all down on paper. Just get it down, get it written, and then you can take it all apart afterwards and see where can I improve this. You know, does one chapter lead into it? It has to be like a train. The carriages all have to join on together. So when you finish one chapter, there has to be a move into the next one and then into the next one. But I do find, as you said there earlier, I do find I write dual timelines a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I might write the earlier scenes all together.
Okay.
And then the up-to-date scenes and have them in a separate folder. And then I feed them in together, whatever way would make it the paciest, I suppose, and allow for the most of the plot lines and that.
And the other aspect then is different points of view. For example, then with the birthday weekend, we have a number of different points of view.
Indeed,
you've different timelines and different points of view, how do you keep track of all of that?
Well, what I do is I have a big sheet of paper at home and I put up use post-it notes. But up and in different colour post-it notes to different characters, so I kind of I'm able to throw my eye over that every so often to see where am I going with this now and what's next. And it's just a question of, do you know what's very good too, to take your script away somewhere else,
really,
and read it in a different environment, maybe with fresh eyes. I can only really work at home in my writing room. I can't compose new words, say in a cafe or that. I'd find that very difficult. There'd be too many distractions. But what I do like to do is when I have the first draft finished, I'd like to take it somewhere different. I've gone to a hotel before and spent a couple of nights there. I've gone to a friend's apartment and spent a couple of nights there and just read it from start to finish myself and just see what's working where, what do I need to improve. And that really helps too to deepen the plot. But I do find that the editorial process will also help to deepen the plot because your editor will think of things you haven't seen. And then when you start working with those ideas, you might end up thinking of more ideas yourself. Kind of one kind of the energy can feed off each other, so it can work very well that way also.
When did you start writing?
I was about 6 or 7 when I started writing.
Yeah.
Yes. My mother brought me, God bless her, brought me to Inchicore Library as a child when I could read, and I swear it was like opening up a magical world for me. I loved reading so much. I read the entire Enid Blyton catalogue. I read all the Nancy Drew books, the Bobbsey Twins. I read the Hardy Boys mystery. I read all the Shelley School Girls. I just read. In fact, I was a child who was given out because I had my head stuck in a book so much.
Right.
And my old children break their hearts laughing when I tell them that my mother used to say, get your head out of that book. When I started writing then, I was scribbling away in anything I could get my hands on, copybooks, notebooks, anything at all. And I used to cut pictures out of birthday cards and print them on the front, and they were my books. But I stopped completely when I was about 16.
Right.
Because I realised I was so out of step with my schoolmates.
Really?
I was the odd one out.
Right, okay.
I was a nerd, in other words.
You needed to become a teenager.
I needed to become a teenager, exactly. And my father had bought me a typewriter and had built me a desk, which was great. But I gave it all up when I was about 16 because I knew nothing about pop songs. I didn't know what the conversation was. At break time in the school, I said, I'll have to get a life. As well as that, I realised that if I wanted to write about people and real life and things that happened, and I had to have those experiences myself. But I made up for lost time. And by the time I was 25, I was married. I had 3 children. The eldest was 4. We had a massive mortgage rate of 16.5%. So all my energy went on that, trying to keep us all together, body and soul, along with my husband, trying to keep us all together during the lean grey 80s. They were absolutely desperate. But it was always in the back of my head that I'd go back to write. I definitely would go back to write at some stage because I had this conviction from the time I was a child that I would write. I remember standing in the library and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And it wasn't a choice, a deliberate choice. It was a conviction that it was going to happen. And I said, sometime I'll do there. So I'll do that. So when I was in my 30s then, I signed up for a creative writing course and it was the kickstart of everything else. Within a year then, I had some freelance articles published in the national press. And The Woman's Way was great for taking fiction stories. So they were great, great days. But I always said, no, I want to write the book. And then I went back to work full time. I had 3 teenagers by this stage. College was looming on the horizon, so it was a no-brainer. So, but I just kind of, I came to my 40s then. I said, oh, good grief, I better get going. I thought I would.
We need to get on with this. Exactly.
We need to get on with it. So I just literally made time. I just carved out time, 2 hours a night. I worked out how long it would take me to write a book over if it took a year and how many words I need to write every month. And I just got on with it. And I sacrificed kind of spare time and all that, but I just got on with it and got it written. And I expected the publishing world to fall at my feet, which didn't happen at all.
So how did you get published then? What happened?
I nearly gave up at one stage.
Why?
Because I was so discouraged over getting rejections. At a couple of years when I was, you know, sending it out and getting it back again. Not too many times, but just enough to kind of, oh, is it worth my while? And one day I went into Tallaght Library and I remember I said to myself, if I see anything at all in the library that'll convince me to keep going, I'll keep going. If I don't, I'm going to walk out the door and forget all about it. And the first thing I saw when I went in the door was a notice board. And the next thing I saw was a notice about a writer's weekend down in Killaloe. I said, well,
there
you
go.
I have to go to that. So I went to that, learned a few things. The following year, I went down to Listowel. I learned more. I had started writing book 2. And within a year of that, I had a book deal and an agent.
Wow.
So it was very, the way it all worked out then, it was very serendipitous, so to speak. And it was really great. I just felt God. I felt so, like what people must, how they feel when they must have won the lotto maybe or something. It was just, if anybody had told me 30 years ago this is where I'd be now, I wouldn't have believed them in a fit.
And this is where you are now,
I know,
as we say, 13 novels later.
I know, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And, you know, how have you found, I suppose, you know, the whole publishing world, shall we say? Because again, you're 13 novels in, you have an agent,
yeah.
You have publishing deals. Like, is it hard to navigate?
Well, I'm lucky I have an agent to look after all the business end of things. So the only navigation I have to really do is around myself. And my own confidence, to be honest with you, because I sometimes find that even though I've so many books written, most authors and most creative people will tell you, you know, they do always suffer from, I suppose, a lack of confidence. Is this good enough? And very often, and I've heard other authors say this as well, the idea you have in your head for your book is not always what comes out on the page. And it's very hard to take in that leap at times, you know. And I suppose the one thing I would tell myself is just get on with it and don't leave me thinking about it.
Just sit down and do it.
Just get on with it, yeah.
And how has your approach to writing then changed over the years? Has it changed much? Are you more, do you have more of a style around it or a format or how you approach it? Or like, for example, you're obviously working on something at the moment. So what's a day in the life like, you know?
A day in the life would vary depending on what stage of the book I'm at. If I'm creating new work, I would generally spend about 3 to 4 hours working on it, mostly in the mornings. But if I'm in an editing phase, I could be working all day, just kind of going back over stuff and going back over stuff. And in fact, last year I took myself off to Anna McCarrick to do a bit of editing, and it was a wonderful experience. So it can vary depending on where you're at in the novel. Certainly when I'm starting something new, I find it takes time to percolate, and it needs time to percolate. And I'm not one of those writers who can go in and spend maybe 8 or 10 hours in the early stages in a book. I have to kind of wait until I have a body of work written before I can go back and spend longer, maybe just checking it for mistakes and that. But so it varies really on depending on what stage I'm at in the process.
And how long does it take you now to write one?
It still takes about a year to write a book, even though I wouldn't say I'm full time writing, I'm about half time writing, because I have family time as well, and then time for myself and reading time, which is important as well. So it takes about a year from start to finish, because it takes that long, I think, to get to know characters in your head and to know how they'd react, what they would do in certain circumstances and what they wouldn't do.
What's interesting is, though, you write standalone novels, and that means creating a new cast of characters then for every single book.
I know.
You're not bringing the characters on with you.
No, I'm not, no.
Why standalone?
It appeals to me the most. And what I do tend to find is, by the time I've finished writing a book, I love my old characters so much, even the baddies, that I don't want to meet any new characters. Absolutely. I don't like them at the start. And I have to get to know these as well. Now, I just find it very interesting. There's as many different people out there as there are characters. So it's...
So no plans to try a series?
No plans, but it's not something I would not rule out entirely, because you have me thinking about that now, you know. Because I've very much enjoyed some crime series I've read where the same characters are carried forward and further developed. And I'd love to maybe try that myself. Not so much a crimey book, but maybe a book of mystery and intrigue. But then again, I suppose I think I find it very hard to write that kind of a book and develop the characters without alluding to what had happened beforehand. So I'd have to think about that now a bit, all right.
And what are you working on at the moment?
I'm working on another book where, I suppose, secrets are revealed after a long time. But it's going to have a shattering impact on the lives of three friends. And I can't say too much about it because it hasn't gone to my editor yet.
Right.
And it'll be going to my editor in the next couple of months. So I can't say too much about it because things can change. As I know myself.
As you do, you'll end up changing everything midway through anyway and see what happens, you know.
We'll see.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, very much so. Oh, it's a dream come true. It's brilliant. I mean, I say to myself, I have pinch me moments. I'm living the dream. And to go into a library and see my books there, or to go into a bookshop and see them there.
Phenomenal.
Or to get messages from people who have enjoyed the book, read and whatever. It's just absolutely fantastic. It really, really is.
And what advice then for anyone listening would you have? For other writers?
Keep going. Somebody said to me once, it's not difficult, it's not impossible to get published, but it's difficult. And once I heard that it's not impossible, that means it's possible. So you just have to keep going. And I think the main thing is to have belief in yourself. Don't mind what anybody else is doing. Write the book you want to read. Write the book that you'd love to write yourself and that you really want to read. And you know, just wear a pair of blinkers and don't mind what's going on out there, because you'll hear people chasing the market, try this, try that genre, try this. But believe you me, by the time you finish the book and by the time it gets to be published, the world has moved on quite considerably. So nothing is kind of on the table. So you really have to just trust your own gut and your own instinct and keep going.
And stay curious.
Absolutely. Stay curious. Keep your eyes open. Keep a notebook. Be ready to, you know, look at the world and with fresh eyes whenever, and just ask yourself the question why as well. Why this, and why would she feel like this? And if you keep asking yourself that often enough, you get very surprising answers of your characters. Bring them out for a cup of tea and ask them what are their greatest fears. And you'd be amazed what comes out. What comes out of your creative brain can be absolutely extraordinary, you know.
Well, Zoe Miller, thank you for joining us here on Inside Books. And you'll find all of Zoe's books online or at your local bookshop now. The next episode of Inside Books will be out soon. Just keep an eye on our Twitter feed for details. The handle is @InsideBooksIRE. Inside Books is a Unique Media production. And if you'd like to hear other episodes, just search for us on the various audio platforms. And don't forget to leave us a rating or review. I'm Breida Brown. Until next time, keep reading.
Inside Books is a Unique Media production.